You can share with the group.
No, that's all right.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's too early, but it's November 29th. I'm in Yugoslav, and usually it's like in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, but it's going to be at this time.
Her lab?
Yeah, Eva has a lab. Did you not know? It's a family process lab, but they're doing like a crossover with DBT lab, and so specifically for a project on
Well, you're my research assistant, right? So your priority is here.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to check.
Yeah. So let her know that you will you'll be missing hers.
Okay.
Thanks.
I don't feel so well. I'm not like totally with it.
I felt that way last week.
Yeah.
And
so
early
I
this week.
It, and then
yeah, no problem. It's all good.
I think you listed me as HP in there instead of HR.
HP, Hewlett Packard.
Yeah, I know, right?
I said Harry Potter.
You know who you are. I'll change it in my document.
It's
great.
I'm a second dynamic client now.
Yay!
Yeah. 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 Like right now.
We'll celebrate people's mental illness. Okay, it's fixed in my database.
Perfect.
See that?
Thank you.
HR, home run.
Home run.
So, how about those correlations? Really great. Nice job, everybody. And there were only three items with the standard deviation among you all over two. So, really outstanding. So, should we get into it? So the first one is item 42. Pull up the manual, take a look. Oh, before I do that, I just remembered I wanted to talk about something. Most labs facilitate the submission of applications for posters. The lab that does that the best, I think, and the most, at least most frequent posters is the trauma lab. They end up like sponsoring like 10 posters, maybe more per year. We usually do one per year. That's what we can handle, one per year. And it usually is inspired by a student who is interested in the data that we're working on and has an idea for doing something. It doesn't have to be tremendously strenuous, and then everybody in the lab gets their name on the poster. So by the time you apply for externship, you can say, oh, look, I presented a paper at such and such conference, and that looks good on your resume and for externships and so forth. So I wanted to make you aware of the fact that I believe in December, if history is any indicator, that the APA is going to be having a deadline for their submissions. Does anybody know about the exact deadline for that? I mean, I can look it up right now. I can also tell you where the conference will be. So, let's see. News and events, I assume news and events.
It looks like the site, okay, hold on, November. The site will open for new research poster submissions on November 13th and will close December
13th. Where do you see that?
Yeah. On the APA meeting submission and guidelines page, there's in the corner, oh, wow, American Psychiatric Association.
Oh.
Never mind.
You're traveling in those circles.
APA 2019, right?
Yes. So let me just look at this. I don't see anything
on
the...
That's what I'm on, but I don't want to be sure. This doesn't look like... This is the APA that we are.
Do you guys see anything? Because I don't.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's December 3rd.
Now, where are you looking for that?
APA Conference 2019.
Oh, it's a different
Chicago,
website?
Right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's in Chicago.
Chi-town. So it's not the APA website. It's a separate website. Is that
it's for their convention.
Convention.apa.org.
You think there'd be a link on the APA website to the convention, right? Very strange. Okay. Oh, call for proposals. Okay. All right, so here it is. So the conference or the convention itself is August 8th to 11th. All right, you can make a road trip out of it. And the proposal deadlines. So where do you see the deadline?
So scroll up a little bit, all the way on the right, Monday, December 3rd.
So that's division programs? Oh, it says posters. Okay. So, December 3rd is... Six and a half weeks away. Usually what is requested at this stage is an abstract. An abstract is a brief summary of what you want to do with your poster. And I don't know what the word limit is. There's a PDF. And there are different, I think there are different areas where you could submit it. These are all the different divisions of psychology. I mean, there are there was something like, I think, 60-something, right? There are 56 divisions. But I don't see a word limit or anything like that. You guys looking at that or seeing that? Did it say that the ability to submit is open yet?
Or? No, I think that was, at that point, I was still looking in the wrong place.
It said open online September 7th.
Oh, it's Friday, September 7th. Yep.
Okay.
I looked for the word limit, but you have to actually put in like the title of the presentation you're going forward.
Oh, you do? Yeah. So it won't even tell you what the word limit is?
It's usually like 250 or something.
250 words?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm happy to help out in any way I can. Let me just give you an idea I had that would be fairly simple to pull together. And that is that because you guys are pretty well trained now, I think I can reveal the diagnosis of this kid. Why not?
I think they might have an idea.
Let's hear what people's ideas are about this kid.
We weren't told last year.
Oh, no? Okay. Do you have any idea?
We were told about the boy.
Is it some sort of PTSD?
PTSD? Okay. So that's a good idea. What was her trauma?
No, I feel like I totally made that up. I don't know.
Oh.
All right. On the ball. It looked like from your response.
What?
I said it looked like she was right by your response.
You think so?
We're getting there.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
How well can you read my face?
Anything with aggression?
Well, what would be a diagnosis?
I was thinking like conduct disorder or ODD.
Oppositional, yeah.
Conduct disorder would require truancy from school and running away from home, and she definitely didn't have any of that.
Yeah, huh? Definitely. Yeah, I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't say conduct disorder?
I mean, I said conduct.
Oh, you said conduct.
I said or ODD.
Okay. Well, definitely not conduct disorder. ODD
right.
is a good choice. That's probably one of the choices. But we decided to assign her a diagnosis that I think is more comprehensive. And it's somewhat controversial because you're not really allowed to assign it to a child under 18 unless there are extenuating circumstances. And we felt that those circumstances were viable in this case. Any other ideas?
Well, I
guess
I
guess
antisocial, but
I was thinking the same.
She's
not
antisocial.
Yeah, that's a little
bit
thinking
about her. It's not reactive attachment.
No, she's very attached to the therapist. She's, you know, she's she's able to establish relationships. Borderline personality disorder. Unstable interpersonal relationships, very impulsive, unstable sense of self, sense of emptiness. And the list goes on and on. So we assign BPD. Now, typically you don't assign BPD to a child, but we felt she met the criteria and, you know, we knew the history and the background, and so that's what we did. So I published a paper on this kid in 2013. And anyway, it's a child who I think is a very interesting kid, and we have a lot of information on her. She had been at this clinic for a number of years.
Jack, were you her first supervisor when she first came?
I don't think I was. I don't think I was.
I'm curious what the other supervisors diagnosed her with?
I don't remember at this point.
No.
But someone could go back in the file and check. But I know that I supervised 3 different students on this case.
How long?
Oh, four different students on this case.
How long ago was this?
This is a number like 10 years ago or something like that.
How about the sister?
The sister was seen here as well. I was not involved in that treatment. I was not the supervisor. I don't know very much about the sister. I supervised this case for 4 years, 4 different therapists. But I think she came into the clinic before I actually started supervising. So she had been at the clinic for more than 4 years.
So let's say you wouldn't be able to give her that diagnosis. I don't know, let's say for insurance purposes or something.
ODD.
Okay.
Can we get back to what your idea was? Okay. So, you know, you guys might have some ideas about what you would like to do with this case. But just one idea I had was that, you know, BPD is somewhat controversial. There is a literature on it for kids, not BPD in general, but for children. But there's Paulina Kernberg, Otto Kernberg's wife, wrote a book, published it in the early 2000s about BPD for children. There's been a number of studies on theory of mind and borderline children since then. Anyway, one idea was that we could kind of independently identify a group of CPQ items that we think might apply to borderline diagnosis, and then go back and see whether these items are prominent in her sessions. We have like 40-something sessions on this kid that have already been coded. So every session has already been coded by another team before you guys. So the videos that you're viewing, as you know, because we have the experts aggregate coding that I'm correlating your ratings with, that team has coded all the videos already. So we already had the CPQ ratings by 2 people. And it wasn't the same 2 for the entire treatment. It was different coding pairs coding the videos. And we actually have the 40-something videos we have span 2 years of the 4 years I was the supervisor. But one idea I had was to identify independently the items that we think map onto the criteria for BPD, and then take those items and see whether they're related significantly to the ratings of the individual sessions we have with this child. That's just one idea I had. I pulled this out of my hat. This past weekend, I was thinking about deadlines and so forth and getting a poster going. If you guys have other ideas, I'm perfectly happy to run with them, as long as they don't take too much work. But I think there's an advantage here that we do have ratings, CPQ ratings, on every session of this child for 2 years. It's 40-something sessions. There are specific items that you think might be interesting, and we can talk about that as well. But I thought the idea of BPD and maybe independently identifying items that we think might map onto a BPD diagnosis and see where they actually come up in sessions. That's a poster. It's just one of many ideas. Anybody else have any ideas? Want to think about it some more? It'd be nice to have a poster out of this year to present at APA. I think it's good for you guys. It's good for our lab. It's very sad when in January, the program, I'm talking to the first years, the second years know this already, the program has a research showcase at the end of January, so it's the beginning of the spring semester, and students' labs present their posters for a competition. And so posters are then evaluated and determined who's the best overall research poster, which poster exemplifies the program's mission statement the best, which one's the best psychodynamic poster, the best CBT poster. You get the idea. So everybody gets a prize basically at the end. So you want to say more about it, Amanda, the process? The research showcase, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, from my experience, I don't necessarily know that like winning it means that was like legitimately the best. It can oftentimes like feel like a popularity contest. But it's still nice. It's still a nice thing to say that you won.
Well, what's nice is not so much the winning, but the fact that you were entered. And you were among you were among the posters being considered.
Yeah.
Like if you don't make a poster, then you can't
enter
the contest, right? Because you don't have anything to enter.
Exactly.
So if the applied child has nothing, you know, it makes us all look kind of lame.
I will say that I don't think the trauma lab is in existence anymore.
It is.
It is?
Yeah.
It is? When does it
meet? Next week. Yeah,
Tuesday. Oh, it starts next week?
Wednesday.
You thought the Trauma Lab wasn't in existence
anymore?
Nobody
told me. I was a member of it last year. Nobody told me it was still meeting. I mean, it's not, but...
Yeah.
And they're still producing as many posters as...
Not as many.
Right, so it doesn't, like you were saying at the beginning, how it used to pump out...
They like 10 to 20 posters.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they did it, but it happened somehow. We've always focused on one poster where we put the work into it and we presented the research showcase and then either APA in August or some other conference, and we've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor.
So you said that you have coded sessions from 2 years. So
yes.
I'm curious if like 20 of them are this female and 20 of them are different.
No, it's the same. It's all one treatment.
It's all the same.
It's two different therapists.
That's my question.
Same patient.
So,
yeah.
Would it be an idea to compare therapists and her relationship with them?
The problem is that I did that for that paper that I published in 2013. It's been done already. But if you wanted to do something new and exciting with the same data, I'm happy to roll with that. Doreen.
So, just to understand your idea, you want to take some of the characteristic of borderline personality disorder, and you have each item, how many times they coded, like which were the highest items in the past 2 years, let's say, and you want to see if these, the highest, graded items are the ones that matching the borderline personality.
Whether they're significant in the
matching.
Yeah. Yeah, correlated, right.
I think it's really small. No, I'm saying I
yes,
think
we
it's
got
really no, not like you like saying I like the idea.
I think so.
Well, I mean, you don't have to run with my idea. I'm just throwing that out there to get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
But if you have other ideas.
The question is, how is the convention going to accept the fact that she was diagnosed, or they don't care about that, with BDD at PPD
at that age? This is a poster.
Okay.
There are, I mean, how many actually went to the, have gone to the convention? You went to Toronto, or which one did you go to?
I went to APA.
No, but was it in Toronto or?
No, I didn't go for this poster in this lab. I went for something.
No, I understand that, but where was it located?
San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went, and how many posters were there at this convention?
Just for the time that I was going, like 50.
But how many times were there?
I mean, there's 3 days. There's like 5 times.
So 15 times 50,
yeah.
Right? That's 750 posters. So you're one of 750. No one's going to care, like whether it's borderline personality disorder in a child, diagnosed in a child or not. That you know.
When is it typically diagnosed?
18 and over.
And how old is she?
She's like 6 to 8.
Okay.
But she's not diagnosed, like, on paper with BPD. It's just been inspected.
No, she is.
Like, in the file that you're
in the file and also in this in the paper that I published.
Yeah.
Huh?
So we want to do it, right?
You want to do a poster? Yeah. Separate from this? Or?
No, no, just something. We,
oh.
Yeah, we were talking about it, but we couldn't come up with ideas. So this, like, I'm on board with that one. Else.
Now the, here's how the deal works. So whoever is just is designated as the organizer gets to be first author. And the other rule is that I get to be last author. So I'm last author on the poster. And the person who organizes and kind of does most of the organizing work and so forth gets to be first author in the poster. So keep that in mind.
Does it logistically make a difference?
What?
Does it make a difference?
I think it makes a difference if you're first author, sure. Because then the other authors, there are two ways you can do it. Either then you can try to figure out like who did the next most amount of work, who did the next most after that. I've done that occasionally, but usually after the first author, it's alphabetical order until, and my name's the end.
So working on the poster is in addition to the hours, or?
It's in addition. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't count toward your 6 hours. But you guys, let's face it, you're doing a lot less than 6 hours right now.
Yes. Without the envelopes, yeah.
Huh?
Without
the envelopes,
yes.
Right. Right. We're still waiting to hear from the session data. But anyway, so you have time now to figure this out. And if it doesn't require coding, you know, we could knock this out like over Christmas break and just be done with it. If it does require coding of some other type, let's say you had an idea where you wanted to apply a coding system, maybe not as complex as a CPQ, but you wanted to code the sessions for something else, I mean, that's going to take some time. And depending upon whether I, how invested I am in the idea, I might allow for research assistant time to be allocated to that project in coding, recoding the sessions for what other variable you have in mind. I'm not close to that idea, but you'd have to pitch it to me and I'd have to hear it. I mean, so one level is I'm really excited by the idea and yes, let's recode these sessions for whatever variable you're interested in. I like the hypothesis. And I would say, okay, so let's devote some of our 6 hours a week to that project as well as what we're doing. Another layer would be, I'm not so excited about it. I don't want to take away lab time from the project that I'm going to be having you work on. But it still sounds like a viable poster. So I give you permission to do it. You can run with it. I'll help you with the stats and all of that. But you'd have to do it on your own time. So that's another layer. And then the third layer would be, you know, I give you an idea and it doesn't require any coding. Or you have an idea. It doesn't require any new coding. But it's something that we could work on using the available ratings we already have and still write a poster on it. So those are the different layers of commitment and availability of time for this project. Does that make sense?
Is what we're coding for now not going to create a poster?
It's what we're coding now is a big project. It involves a lot of sessions, and I don't know if we're going to be finished coding all the sessions by the end of the year. We might not. I don't want to, you know, promise the APA a poster when we might not finish coding by the end of April.
And is this going to continue on into next year?
If we're not done, it will. Yeah. Because you guys now are now trained. So I want to take advantage of the train. Well, you're not trained yet, but you're getting there. Once you're trained, you know, I want what's known as an ROI. Do you know what that is? It's a business term, return on investment. So I didn't get that so much the last time I went through this training. And in fact, Amanda was the only research assistant who stayed with me. So I ended up training Gina, Sarah, Lily, you know, all these folks and Rachel, and then, you know, Rachel, she went to, she ended up at LAU Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Remember her?
Yes.
So I trained all these people, and then they left after the year, and
yes,
that was kind of a wasted year, except for Amanda. So appreciate your staying on. So I would like to, the fact that you're trained, then I'd like you to be able to use your talents to code the session videos that we're going to be getting in collaboration with Yeshiva University. So, and by the way, how's that training going with
audio? Good, I was going to talk to you after. The thing is that I coded this when I was a nice, ripe first year. And so I'm finding that the discrepancies that we're talking about are things that I agree with her rating now on.
Okay.
Which is great for later on, knowing that we're on the same page. But not right now. Like, right now, there's really, like, we talk about something, and I'm like, yeah, so you can make your rating lower, but I can't do anything with mine because I'm not coding with her next week. You know, she's just doing another one by herself.
Right.
So I don't know what – I was going to talk to you about it. We just spoke at noon, and I didn't know if I should assign her a third video, if I should try to recode that third video with her to see, just out of curiosity, if I would get a higher
No.
There's just certain items, like child is, socially attuned?
One solution is to have you coding with the rest of the group on the videos that everyone's coding.
Right.
Like the sessions that I gave you.
Right. Have me coding with everyone.
Yeah. And then Ariel codes with everyone too.
Oh, okay. Does
that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe just scrap the remaining videos that I've given you to give to her,
yeah,
and just follow the protocol for the remaining videos that we have left on the training protocol for this group.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I don't mind that.
I mean, it's more work for you, but
if
the low reliabilities are related to your novice ratings back when you were first year, then it doesn't make sense. She's trying to establish reliability with you.
Right.
With first year you.
So should I err on the side of like the lower? I'm like, no, don't try to get yourself reliable with first year me. Like, because then when we start coding as a coding team,
yeah, exactly.
Coding with third year,
yeah, right, who's very experienced by this point.
Yeah, so I like that idea.
Okay.
I'm going to propose that to her. And
so we'll start.
I have to figure out how to get
the with video. The videos for everybody starting next week.
So
the ones you're going to be passing out this
right
week.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So you'll
That's
be coding that one too.
Yes. Okay.
And then you'll also be able to chime in with the rest of the group.
It's a little lonely all again. Okay.
I was trying to spare you more work, but.
No, I would like to do it.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So, sounds like Steph and Margarita would like to talk amongst yourselves about whether you want to run with this idea or a different idea. Or is there anyone else want to? Doreen.
No, I'm also, I mean, if, like, is it, I don't know, the more the merrier, so I would love to.
Well, ideally, I'd like everybody's name to be on the poster.
Okay,
I'd like everybody, even Kashi, I want to be on the poster. But, you know, it's just who wants to take the lead on the poster and kind of organize everybody into dividing up, division of labor and all that.
Can you talk about again what's the importance of being like, what is it like, is it something we put on the resume, like where on the poster were we, or?
No, here, let me show you an example. I'll show you my CV, how's that? And you'll get an idea of what I put on my CV. I put posters on my CV, okay?
My CV has three posters, just letting you know, and I am at an externship, so don't worry about it too much.
You got your first choice externship?
Nope.
Oh.
I did not get my first choice externship, but I'm at an externship.
Are you saying that three posters is low?
Yes.
It's low?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like a lot.
Okay, so here's one I have that I've added, and it's not even for one that has happened yet. It's one that's going to be happening in the future. So I'm on a poster with Valita and two colleagues here at LIU who are in the art therapy program, an exploration of Ugandan children's drawings, alternative representation relating Lowenfeld's artistic development to school readiness. Paper presented at the meeting of the National Art Education Association, Boston, Massachusetts. It's not happening until March, but it's been accepted for presentation, so that counts. So then I was in Amsterdam in June, and I made some remarks on this person's paper, Vera Ramirez, who actually was a visiting scholar here. I think Amanda remembers her. Vera? Vera Ramirez? No?
I can't remember. I remember.
Maybe it was the year before you.
Who?
Sibeli. You're thinking of Sibeli.
No, Sibeli, Raquel, Angel was here. I forgot the other girl. But never Vera.
Vera was my age, right? She's a faculty member from Brazil, and she sat in on our first year classes. But maybe it was the year before you.
Maybe.
Did Sibeli sit in on your...
Yeah, Sibeli was here.
Okay, so it was the year before. Her mentor, Vera, was here as a visiting scholar. So I made some remarks on her paper. So that counts. So paper presented at the meeting of the Society for Psychotherapy Research, Amsterdam. And then I presented a pre-conference workshop, a sort of homecoming, CPQ studies from around the world, right? So these are individual things, but you can see here, so you list all the authors in a certain order. Okay? So Sung-Yung Lee is taking the lead on this presentation, so her name comes first.
I was just going to say I definitely want to be involved in some capacity, but I'm interested in the definitely BPD, and I might have to think more about, I'm definitely interested in your idea, maybe like over the weekend ideas will come to me as far as
okay.
relating.
Or, you know, if you're more interested in ODD, like identifying and...
They proposed, and she would have been diagnosed with ODD had she not been diagnosed with that, and maybe we should do both and see what happens there.
You could do that. Or you could also identify items of a diagnosis that we know she definitely doesn't have. So, for example, she does not have Asperger's disorder.
Right.
I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So if you identify items that are related to Asperger's disorder, and then we can demonstrate something called discriminant validity.
Yeah.
So we know that this it's really developing prototypes in a way,
yeah.
right? So, but we're only going to be doing with a certain number of items. So the prototype is discriminative, meaning that okay, she definitely has BPD, but she definitely doesn't have Asperger's. And look, we demonstrated through in-session data that she has one and not the other. So that would strengthen the case for using the CPQ as a diagnostic instrument for sessions.
Mm-hmm.
That would be where we'd be going with this. Like, can we use this instrument for diagnostic purposes in sessions? Does that make sense? Kind of like how we're using the CCQ, where I have like... externalizing disorder prototype, I've got an internalizing disorder prototype, right? So we could, instead of doing it like that, I just identify a few key items that might mark a diagnosis and then run those items.
Mm-hmm. And see like how consistent the items are with the diagnostic features and symptoms.
Right. In the session.
Right.
So something to think about. We can keep, you know, talking about this. I'd like people to think about it, and maybe next week we devote the first part of our meeting next week to talking about it as well. How's that sound? All right. But at some point, like, a leader should emerge among all of you, and I'm not going to appoint anybody. I want it to kind of happen organically. All right. So, to be continued.
Wait, just like one question.
Yes,
so like
sure.
As far as the process of the posters and
yeah.
the logistics, how does that even work? Because like when I was in undergrad, we had like a blueprint or a template, and we just filled it out, and then we submitted it, and then a poster we picked up. Is that similar?
Well, what you're going to be submitting is an abstract, and that's what I was trying to clarify with Amanda, how long it has to be. It sounds like it's 250 words.
It's usually like 250. Yeah, we can't find an exact. I didn't see it. Unless you found it on the website.
No, I just remember
from that other day. So they probably kept it the same.
Yeah, I'm sure. So it was 250 last year?
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume it's 250 this year. So what we have to come up with by December 3rd is a 250-word abstract. So like an intro, like a method, results, discussion, that kind of thing. So that's what I would suggest we start thinking about. The method is already kind of written for you guys. In fact, after this meeting, I can send you all the 2013 paper. So you actually have something to hold on to, what's already been published. And then you might, reading the paper, you might get other ideas that strike you, and we can pursue those ideas. So, all right? But definitely by December 3rd, we need an abstract that we can submit. And we need a title, and we need the list of authors. That's basically all we need. And then maybe during the winter break, we can actually run the analyses or whatever we need to do. Just organizing the whole thing, giving out assignments to people.
So like, I wouldn't mind doing that, but I don't know what. I've never done a poster, so I don't know if I shouldn't put my name
around it. I don't know. Has anyone ever been a first author?
I mean, I was undergrad, but it could have been completely different.
Yeah. Amanda, you were? You were too? Okay. Amanda, you were. So maybe tell Stephanie what it was like.
Delegating
tasks and helping
people because I never did poster.
How
does
that sound?
Capable.
You know, the neat thing about this treatment is that it's already IRB approved, so you don't need to submit to the IRB, which can be a real hassle. So anyway, let's knock out at least three items here for discussion. So item 42 is child ignores or rejects therapist comments and observations. Didn't we talk about this one last week?
Every
time. Okay. So child typically disagrees with, ignores, or rejects therapist suggestions, observations, interpretations, right? Child remarks in response to a therapist's remarks, just forget about it, covers ears, talks over the therapist. Uncharacteristic if child responds with more elaborated play, comments, or associations to therapist's remarks. So they're kind of furthering the conversation with the therapist. That would be on the uncharacteristic end. So, having said that, the experts, I should go over here. The experts, by the way, I've ordered a new laser pointer because I changed the batteries and it makes no difference that it's on its last legs. But anyway, the experts put it in 5, meaning neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic. Now, we don't know whether it's neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic because there were some parts of the session in which the child was very compliant and furthering of the conversation with the therapist, and in other parts the patient was very oppositional and ignoring or rejecting of the therapist's remarks, or it just wasn't an item that was very salient in the session. So I don't know the reason for the placement in pile five, but what I can tell you is that it's in pile five. And we have, so remember, looking at plus or minus two, we have 3, 8 is outside the realm, 3, 6, okay. Two, outside the realm. 5, right on. 7, 1 is way outside the realm, and 2 is outside the realm. So, Cheryl, Kasia, Kayla were low, too low, and Taylor was too high. Is that right?
Yeah, but I was kind of, I had a hard time with, like, I don't know if anyone else has felt this way, but I had a hard time with the extremes. I feel like everything was very middle. So I think this one got pushed for me. I don't think
But if that pushed into one of the 12 most characteristic items of the entire session,
yes,
that's pushed way too far.
I know. Only because I related to this one point where I wrote my notes, avoided the dad talk. So I guess the therapist might have said, oh, so you went with your grandpa to the dance, not your dad. And I think that the child avoided the talk. But I don't know. I disagree with what I put.
Okay.
I don't think it was quite true. So it's a mistake.
Can someone give an example of the thing that she avoided? Because I thought that she, like, from what I still think that what I did.
You like your rating.
Yeah, I. From my notes, that's what.
Which
I saw.
42.
Okay, I rated it pretty high. I give it a 7 because there was one part where I wrote this down actually for once, and and the therapist said, "Why is it important for you to be the first and the best?" And the child completely ignored it, and the therapist pointed it out. And she was like, it seems like you're avoiding this. And the child kind of didn't have an answer for it. So I thought that part was so, like, salient that I rated it higher. Even though, like, for the most part, like, she was, like, engaging with the therapist, but I thought that, like, that one part...
You thought it was very, very salient.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember that.
You remember that, Cheryl?
Yeah, I still put it low because I thought that was the only instance, but it's possible that that was so silly, which is why they put it in the middle so that it balanced
it
out.
It balanced out.
Yeah, so that's possible. That makes sense.
Right, so she's low-level compliant and responding, but then this one instance, it's very striking that she doesn't. She ignores the therapist's remarks, and it's very striking that you can see how that might balance out. Cancel out all the low level, yeah, and pseudo compliance with the therapist.
Yeah.
Kasia.
Is it salient because the therapist pointed it out? Because I feel like.
Yeah, that would make it very salient. The therapist thought it was important enough to bring to the patient's attention. Yeah. So can we agree to a 5 or in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
All right.
Before we move on to the next one, does everyone want to pass me their posters?
So we have item 23, which I believe is the theme item. Yes. Therapy session has a specific focus or theme. This is always problematic, isn't it?
I just spoke about this one with Ariel. We were describing it
yeah,
too on our video.
It's a hard one.
It's never during different lessons.
Oh, we see my zebra.
Oh, no, I feel bad.
Yeah, sure.
So, pretty discrepant. So the experts put in pile four. It's kind of a middle pile, not really a specific theme, but not really diffuse either, as far as the session is concerned. So we've got 3, 5, 8 would be way off. 6 is within 2. Three, 7 would be out of the range. 6 is okay. 1 is out of the range, and 3 is okay. So
I was a 7.
You
that's
were
just
the 7.
It got bumped up 1. It was a, I think I had in a 6 for most of it, and then I needed to move steps, so I got bumped to a 7.
Okay, so you're 1 out of the range.
I have no problem moving it down.
Okay. Kasia, what do you think?
I feel like there are so many different things discussed. That's why I put it in.
You thought it was very diffuse.
I felt like it was the opposite.
I thought that there were just so many different.
Did you see any, were there any connections among the different themes?
I guess this is where I was confused, because I feel like last session, even though I think we're talking about bullying and school and the friends, and we kind of go to these different topics, even though they're kind of connected with the school. So, like, even though these may have been connected, I kind of took it as, like, okay, but there's so many different ones that I thought they were, that's, I guess that was my thinking behind it.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I felt the opposite direction. I felt that it was narrowed to a, like, a specific focus, because, or a few specific focuses, like, because they were sitting and talking about the bullying and like maybe the dance, and then they were playing a game, and I don't know, like, it just didn't seem, it's supposed to be a 4.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's way too low, like, I don't know, if anyone wants to,
what did you
say the opposite, like, give the opposite argument?
Yeah, I did 3.
Do you want to talk about your 3?
I remember that the reason I put is because something you said when we talked about that item, then that made me put it lower.
Mm-hmm.
What
did I say?
That we have to, if it's few things that are, let me see. Yeah, that, like, we have to connect, like, few things could be only one subject. And not necessarily, I think Cheryl was asking last week about, you know, school and something, and you told her that's all under the same
umbrella. No, it's the opposite, sorry.
Oh,
I was putting it all together, and you said keep it different.
Right.
Okay, so I guess, but that made me put it low.
Oh, and you said to keep it separate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like all those topics that you're talking about, you're bullying, or like all those conversations are actually separate.
I mean, there was so much more than bullying. Like, I don't know. Again.
Well, to get back to Kasia's
point. Yeah.
So you're saying that this is so diffuse, one of the 5 most uncharacteristic aspects of this session was the diffuseness of it.
Well, to begin with, I had a really hard time thinking, like, with the extremes as well. Mostly all of my items were, like, in 5, and I had to. I think when I sorted it, I had 1 item in pile 1, and I was like, well, I put over here. So it's like I had to choose, and I guess that's what I thought out of all the options. And I just thought, like, there's so many things discussed compared to all the other items. I'll put this in a pile 1.
A diffuse session, which would be pile 1, would be a kid who's ADHD and he's running all over. and he picks up a toy and he puts it back down. He runs to the other side of the room. He picks up another toy, puts it down, looks out the window, says, oh, look at that person over there. Knocks on the door, says, I want to leave. Picks up the Play-Doh, puts it down, starts painting, puts it down.
Yeah.
That would be a one.
Okay.
I don't see her doing that.
I actually understand why it would be a four. Because I just talked to Cheryl about it. And like what you talked about last week, how the separate, like we need to view it more as separate entities and not just like one school.
Yeah. I think part of the problem is that most of you, if not all of you, have not really had much experience working with kids in a therapy context. So what's a diffuse session look like to you?
Right.
You know, if you don't really, if you've never been in a session with a kid, it would be hard to make that assessment.
So when there was like in this session, there was like a part, really prolonged part, where they just sitting and talking. So and that part, there were a lot of subjects discussed. So what would your view be on that?
How many subjects were discussed, and what were they?
There was the period again, right? There was the like, I'm good at singing, I'm good at math, and like there was a lot of that. Something with the sister, she was celebrating something for a bit of
moment. Oh, the birthday.
Yes.
Okay.
Valentine's Day dance and having a baby boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's four.
No,
and what?
There was
snakes?
Making mistakes. In front of family, nervous about making mistakes in front of family.
Oh, yeah, the punishment, the cauliflower.
The cauliflower.
Cauliflower punishment. versus the.
Her pole in her pocket thing.
The what?
She had a talent show.
I remember that. Talent show.
So, how would you.
So that's six. So, clearly there weren't a few foci or themes. There was more than a few. So it should be lower than five. But it shouldn't be a one. So I think anywhere three or four would make sense to me. But not a one. It's just if you haven't been with an ADHD kid in a therapy context, then you wouldn't know what a diffuse session looks like. I mean, there's just no continuity in subject matter, in behavior, in theme, none of that.
So the expert put it in five?
Four.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. We'll keep banging away at this one.
It's a confusing item. Yeah. I mean,
it is.
I can see that.
You have to think about it.
Yeah. So let's do 25. What is 25? 25 is child has difficulty leaving the session. Now this one should be, I would think, would be fairly easy to determine. Child manifests discomfort, awkwardness at the conclusion of the session. Child prolongs discussion or play once the end of the hour is announced. Child refuses to leave. Or, child ends the hour with considerable ease. For example, child dashes for the door when the therapist announces the end of the hour. So this creator, Celeste Schneider, is giving you the two extremes. Right? So I would think it'd be fairly easy to be able to modulate where each session would fall on this item. So let's look where you guys... So they put it right in five. Right smack dab in five. So this child had neither, there was no ease involved, but there was no hardship for the child in leaving either. So we have three and seven. Now, on its own, that's five, is within two of five, but if I were pairing Doreen with Taylor, that would be a problem. Because I'm going to be pairing each of you with a partner, and you're going to be assigned a video, and you're going to be coding that video, and you're going to have to be reliable with your partner. But if I had assigned this session to Taylor and Doreen on this particular item, although they're both within two of the experts, with each other, they're four off, right? One says it's characteristic, the other says it's uncharacteristic. So you two need to fight it out. So, but, you know, for the purposes of our discussion, okay, you're within two of the five, but if you two were paired up, that certainly wouldn't work out, right? So the two here is too low. HP is too low. Let's see the next. Nine. Whoa.
I totally don't
nine.
That,
so you thought that she totally, she was, they had to drag her out of the session by her legs.
Oh my gosh.
3, 4, 3, 6. Okay. So the nine is outside the plus or minus two. And the two, Holly, the two here. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, at the time when I viewed her leaving with...
And what if I'm sorry to interrupt, but sorry, what if I paired Holly with Kayla? You'd be seven away from each other.
I mean,
actually, it's one away from the maximum. The maximum of discrepancy would be eight, right? Nine minus one. So you two are at a seven.
Okay, so in retrospect, I would have put it in a four. I don't know. I guess it got moved, like, along the way. But I don't think it should be a five because I did notice that she had, like, I interpreted it as ease when she got up, especially because, like, she got up like right away and she was helping clean up and everything. And I know, like, I'm not considering it in past sessions. I know she had difficulty leaving in past sessions, but even the therapist said, like, made a comment about her leaving, like, oh, like, it's easy for you to leave today or something. I don't know. So I guess
the therapist comment is easy for you to leave
yeah,
today.
Yeah, does anyone remember that or no?
I remember that she was asking how much time we have.
Yeah.
Is the time up or something?
And
like
I thought
that.
So because she asked the time thing. I don't know. Like, yes, that could be.
Well, she can ask that, but it's actually the behavior that matters.
Yeah, so I did view it as her leaving with ease. And then the comment, it was especially the comment by the therapist that said she had an easy time leaving. But I would really put it in a four. I wouldn't put it in a five.
All right. What else? Doreen, what about you?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Holly. I mean, I felt that she, I mean, altogether she was pretty, I mean, she was aware of the time, and when she was told the time was up, she didn't act, like, you know, rebellious against it. I didn't see that.
Did she run out the door? Did she?
No, but that's why I didn't put it.
Hey, man, I got places to go, people to see.
She didn't run out the door like two characters ago, too, but she, like, got right up and started cleaning up. I don't know.
Yeah, there was no, you know, delaying issue.
Was it salient as far as the comparison with other items? Was it something you really remembered from this session?
No, for me it was very smooth, nothing that stands
out. I would argue for a four, given that. Now, the experts put it in five, but I could see a four. Three might be a little too low.
I think four would be
good. So you put it in seven, though.
Yeah, I do. I don't remember, really, honestly. Maybe because there was questions about, like, oh, how much time do we have left? I don't know.
Really, honestly, I don't remember. All right. I'm sorry. And I don't have a note on it, which is unusual for me. So maybe it was just pushed for me.
Okay.
But I would forget that. So it's a restless crowd tonight. So I'll let you go early. Thank you.
If you want to check your blood stress, Doreen just had trouble with hers.
So I'm going to give my
phone. Yeah, and I want to see if you can
ask you to check my blood. Yeah, of course.
Oh, Kayla, was yours?
Yeah, but it's an issue with the Chromebook, and well, actually, no, there was that issue